Well, welcome back to our next segment of this edition of the Mike Kira Radio Show, the Central Florida Buzz here at Frank's Place Restaurant and Sports Bar, 146 North Clark Road in beautiful Ocoee, Florida. And if it's happening in Ocoee, it's happening at Frank's Place right now. What is happening at Frank's Place is I'm being joined by Tara Lee Cavanaugh, and who's a great stand-up comedian and great performer. And now, Tara, if you do listen to the show, and for everyone that listens to this show knows that this is a time we talk, and you mentioned a little bit about hecklers, we talk about hecklers. So, I mean, for you, first of all, do you get a lot of hecklers?
Not too much. It just depends on the room. I did, like, my very first paid show ever was a contest I won on Real Radio, and I got to open for two seasoned comics that I really respected and enjoyed a lot. I was actually hosting that show, and I was so nervous. I was freaking out. But I had my whole routine ready, and I was, you know, I had a lot of advice from, like, a couple veteran friend comics as well, and it just tanked terribly. There were, like, two tables full of, you know, baby boomer parrot heads that were, like, half in the bag and just talked through the whole set and ended up booing me, and, like, it was a nightmare, like an anxiety nightmare come to life. But in these situations, I just pick a light, and I stare into it, and I just rattle off my set and just get the hell out of there. I think the worst thing you can do is kind of let your, I'm from New York. I'm Irish Italian. So I have, like, a short fuse to begin with, which is something I battled with my whole life. So, anger management says that, no one is in control of you but yourself. So you just kind of have to hold back, because especially when you're hosting, you can't make the show about you. The show is about everyone else that's not you. So that was one situation where I just kind of had to go on autopilot and get the hell off stage and get the next comic on. And other times, you know, whenever that happens, you know, in kind of roadhouses or open mics or different kind of bar, mostly they happen in bars, you know, where everyone's drinking. You just kind of keep the show rolling, and I try not to get angry or negative or combative, especially because then it just makes everybody super uncomfortable. You know, anybody can turn on Jerry Springer for a good fight on stage, but it's another thing when, like, you have to suffer through it when everyone's just showed up to specifically have a good time, you know?
And one thing, Tara, I want to let you know and let our audience know that I had the pleasure and honor, I guess, of for the first time going to the Improv, actually. Not this Sunday, but this past Sunday, my dad and myself, we went to the Improv. And the one thing I was not expecting, that it was a dinner theater. They wouldn't even let me bring in my water. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Whoa. You know, it's really something. I thought it was going to be like Austin's, where you go in to your dilapidated old table and curl it for the night. I didn't know it was going to be quite like that. But one of the things that I noticed is the audience made the most strangest and most interesting sounds that I've ever heard. I've heard ooh or ah or like whoa, and I mean that I never heard. When I go to the open mics, it's like, you know, I guess it's there's all 40 other comedians, they're all cheering, but
right.
I've never heard such an expression. So I mean, for you, is that something you've been at the Improv or?
Yeah, I did have the pleasure of being on stage at the Improv once. A good friend of mine, Miguel Colon Jr., he's on Real Laughs on Real Radio. He is, he gave me a guest spot of like 5 minutes, and it was just so exhilarating because it's a room of, you know, 150-ish people that got in their car, drove there, paid for parking, paid the two drink minimum, got like, you know, a quesadilla, and are there specifically to be entertained. You know, I'm used to showing up at bars and, you know, getting on a microphone and everyone being like, oh, I was just here to kind of be alone with my thoughts and my Budweiser, but I guess now I have to listen to a person talking to a microphone. You know what I mean? Like, I'm more used to grasping for people's attention instead of just having it present itself right there in front of me. So that was awesome. The Improv is definitely, you know, it harkens back to those old kind of like 80s comedy clubs with the drink minimum. And you know what I mean? Like, you have to stick very specifically to your time, and it's a very, regimented show. But it was awesome. I can't wait to go back. Hopefully, fingers crossed, you know.
There is a 2-drink minimum at the Improv.
Yeah, I think like traditionally they used to always do that. I grew up going to so I had an older cousin. I grew up in West Palm Beach. I went to high school in West Palm down south, and my cousin used to be an server at the Improv. So he's been sneaking me into shows since I was 15.
Oh, wow.
My very first show was Eric Myers was the host. Bert Kreischer, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. He has a show on Travel Channel now. He was the feature, and the headliner was Louis C.K. at least 60, 80 pounds ago. You know what I mean? And I'm 32 now, so this was forever ago. But I remember, we did have to order drinks, and then at a specific time, the servers come and drop the check, and that's a specific time in the show where a comedian will see that that's kind of like a cue to start kind of your flight of comedy is going into the descent at that point, you know? And it's just a very specific time to grasp the audience's attention and not wear them out and exhaust them, you know? So it's been fascinating studying how those clubs work from a very young age, as opposed to just now, going to, the normal mics like Austin's and other bar and things like that downtown.
And I just want to say that I do love Austin's. Maybe they need a little remodel, but I do love Austin's. I want to make that clear. No disrespect to it, but
we all do, yeah.
So that's interesting about the Improv. Well, see, we had 6 beers, but that's the thing about, whenever I never notice these minimums, because whenever I go to a comedy club, I like to have a few beers. And luckily, me and my dad, even after all that beer, we were still civil. But I know sometimes alcohol and audiences don't necessarily mix to the point where they're, yelling at you and screaming at you. And then the next morning, it's like, well, I don't know anything about it. I don't remember that. Don't blame me. Blame the alcohol.
Right, exactly. I remember I saw, I think I was 17 or 18. I think it was 18. I took my mom to see Judy Gold at the West Palm, West Palm Improv. Oh, my God. I love her so much.
Yeah.
She is so funny. She had a terrible night. Looking back, she had a terrible night. I was enthralled because, she's like a huge influence, and I was obsessed with her. I watched her 30-minute Comedy Central special over and over and over again, and it was fascinating to just see her in the flesh so close and in the same room, and I was hanging on her every word. But, she got into it with a couple of hecklers, and for her, it ended up reflecting as having a terrible show. But I didn't know any better. You know what I mean? So, again, when you're dealing with hecklers, what your perspective is of how the entire room is enjoying a show can be completely different than half the people in the room. Because I had no idea she had a bad show. I thought it was a fabulous night. But she thought she did horribly.
Yeah. I know how that could be. You see it a lot, sometimes. So now the question I always like to ask comedians is, how do you handle not the heckler, but the guy that's drunk but supporting you? Hey, Tara, Tara, whoever. Hey, you're so awesome. You're so great. I mean, how do you deal with somebody that's your cheerleader, but you... Is there a certain way tactfully to try to get them to shut up?
Yeah, there's always, there's always little subtle ways. I saw James Yawn at his show. There are people, people like to shout your punchlines at you or be like, oh, I heard that, agreeing with your observational humor. And James would just smile and be like, right, what I'm talking, this guy knows, if someone's supporting you, by all means, keep going. Don't shush. I don't like to be shushed, so I'm not going to shush people. And, if someone's supporting you, you don't want to stop them. It helps keep the energy in the room up. So you just kind of keep flowing. I like to just kind of keep going with what I'm saying. I had a show at the Haven, which is kind of like a metal bar, roadhouse kind of vibe place off Cimarron and Winter Park. And it can be a rough room for a lot of people. And like I said, if you get combative, things can take a hard left turn really quick. Or if you kind of agree and give them a nod and a wink and a point and acknowledge, yeah, I see you. And yeah, I really love that you're supporting me. But, I've got stuff to do. And you just kind of keep rolling with your set. It'll always end up, better for me personally, I'm also 4'10". I don't know how well I'd get in a bar fight. So
And one question, since I have you here, Tara, that I wanted to ask, you know, again, getting back to the improv and, you know, having to order. One of the hardest things, though, about watching comedy is when you've got to think, what do I want? I've got to order now. And it breaks up that whole flow. But, I mean, for you on stage, you ever hear that? I mean, is there ever, like, you're trying to concentrate and somebody says, I'll have the comedy club.
Yeah. Any kind of chatter always kind of throws me off because I've like such intense ADD anyway. Like, yeah. I'm constantly looking at different noises and touching, you know, my necklace, or I'll hear a fork drop or something. And that could throw me off. But, you know, like last night I was on stage and I had a great set. I had a really good time. But in the middle of my set, a group of kids at the bar all ordered shots and I saw them all kind of cheers and do the shot together. And that kind of took me out for a second. But then, you know, you realize where you are. I also was on stage and I could hear the comics that I'm friends with laughing at one of my jokes. So then I started laughing. And then in the split second that it happens, you remind yourself like, oh crap, I'm on stage and I'm the one talking. Like, and you just kind of have to get back into it and like crack the whip on yourself. But I mean, whatever you can do to just keep yourself focused, it's really hard sometimes.
I know how that is, Tara. Even if someone would break a glass right now and you hear all this glass breaking, I'd probably go, oops, another glass broken here at Frank's place, and then move on.
So exactly.
I've found, and I even on the news, sometimes somebody will make a mistake. It's a bad one. They'll move on, and it'll be like, that guy made a mistake. Or sometimes they'll correct themselves, or they'll make a little joke. I always feel if you make light of the joke,
yes.
I mean, of the mistake, make a joke out of it, it works better.
Yeah, sometimes the recovery is funnier than the punchline.
Yeah.
Nothing makes me happier than seeing, my, my peers fail. I love when seeing a friend screw up one of their own jokes and then recover and bounce back and the audience is with them. And they actually, I saw someone get an applause break at Other Bar a few weeks ago. I saw my friend Fritz Pierre. The minute he did his setup, I know he flipped his setup and his punchline just because I've seen it so many times. And then when he went, he didn't realize it until he went to land the punchline and he realized that he had screwed up. And he kind of got a split second of crickets and acknowledged that he had totally missed the punchline, and the audience loved it and they were all laughing and I was cracking up and his friends were all cracking up because, you know, he recovered so gracefully and it was so hilarious that sometimes it's even better than the punchline, you know?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, is that something that you do? In his case, it was kind of maybe unintentional, but I mean, for you, do you sometimes feel like, wait a minute, I should switch this joke up or switch that joke up or switch this part? I mean, is it at the last minute, wait a minute, something doesn't feel right, switch it? Or?
Yeah, sometimes. I did that show at the Haven, and right. I had a set in my head that I was definitely going to do, and then I realized that this crowd was not going to care, and I was going to lose them immediately, so I switched to something that would be more relatable for them, and then I ended the show on a really dark, dark note, but they really responded well to it, and they really liked it, you know? It was, sometimes you get up there, and that's also what's so exhilarating about stand-up, is that you have no idea what's going to happen.
And now as far as new jokes, Tara, is that something you like to do at open mics? I mean, is that when they're tested? I mean, is there ever, when you do like the improv, or I mean, new jokes are always at open mics for the most part? Or?
Absolutely, yeah. I would never go ride blind at the improv, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because that's also where you're trying to put your best foot forward,
right,
and network.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know who's watching at bigger clubs like that. And who might want to book you for something else, you know. At the end of the day, we all have our fingers crossed that we can get paid doing this, you know. The goal is to do what you love, but also be able to survive on it at the same time. So I would never do something new. I might add a new little tag or make like a little joke. I was at a showcase the other night where I have a I mentioned that my grandmother died, but then I also mentioned a story, a family inside joke, kind of, about one of the dogs that also died. And I realized I had been talking about, you know, people and animals around me dropping like flies. So I said, like, you know, this set has, like, a lot of darkness in it. I'm just realizing that, you know. And people liked it, and they laughed. But, you know, sometimes you catch yourself, and you become self-aware, and sometimes it works.
Okay, Tara, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back. My guest today is Tara Lee Cavanaugh, a great stand-up comedian. You're listening to the Mike Kerr Radio Show, the Central Florida Buzz, here at Frank's Place Restaurant Sports Bar, 146 North Clark Road in beautiful Ocoee, Florida. And if it's happening in Ocoee, it's happening at Frank's Place. And please stay with us for our very last segment of this edition of our program today.